This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday, July 28, 2021. Thanks a lot for hanging with us. It is hump day. Hopefully we can get you over the hump. There it is. There it is. Nobody humps like Bobby Brown. And not only is it hump day, it's the first full day, the first real day of Chiefs training camp.
Yes, 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 yes.
The full team ready to begin their march towards their third straight AFC championship.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
You ever think you'd hear me say something like that on this show? Either one of you?
Well, you never know what you're going to hear on this show.
Are you ready for some football?
But did you ever in your wildest dreams think I'd come on here at the beginning of training camp and say, well, Chiefs looking to win their third straight AFC championship. Let's see if they can do it.
Well, not before Patrick Mahomes, I never would have thought you'd say that.
Ever. Ever. We did a lot of shows before Patrick Mahomes got here, buddy. I don't know if you remember.
I've tried to block all that out in my mind.
Well, you shouldn't. You should hold those memories dear, because without those tremendous downs, we would not properly appreciate the tremendous highs. Jake could tell you, you have to appreciate the highs.
Right. But you only appreciate the highs if you've had the lows.
Right.
You're right. It's perspective. That's the definition of perspective. Yeah. Hey, I mean, that guy's my boss now, so I got to be careful what I say.
How much of Sporting did he buy?
I don't know.
Find out.
As much as he wanted?
Yeah, right. Whatever, however much
well,
he wanted.
I mean, did you know someone was available? Did you know that was?
Well, they certainly did not make it available to me.
Was it like on Facebook Marketplace? Or
yeah, I was not invited to buy any shares.
Was it posted anywhere?
Not that I know of. I'm not aware of any. I did not think that there were any shares up for sale. But I guess if Patrick Mahomes wants to get involved, you say, yeah, let's talk some turkey here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anything is not for sale to that man.
He's going to own the whole city by the time he's done, and I'm good with it.
Yeah. It makes our property value go up. Yeah. I think,
yeah, the team president, Jake Reed, had a pizza party at the office yesterday and had an announcement to make, and I was like, well, this seems like this is going to be a good announcement. You don't throw a pizza party to have, like, a bad announcement.
Right. You got some really bad news. Hey, pizza,
fired.
Everybody!
I had no idea. I thought it was going to be something about the World Cup or something like that. And it's like, hey, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is a part owner of the team now. All right.
What would you have done if Jake Reed would have said, hey, I brought you all here, pizza party. Let's talk about this Texas and Oklahoma to SEC story. What do you guys think?
I'm going home.
Would you have been mad?
No, I'm good. I think I'm good now. I think I got everything out yesterday that I needed to get out.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That's not true. I'm just going to tell you, I received a tremendous amount of response via email, Twitter.
Yep.
It's a lot of people that were either highly entertained by you or people that were worried about you, or some, and I am friends with, you know, I'm friends with plenty. Well, I feel like I'm more connected to KU than you are, Nate. Now,
wow.
It seems like.
Okay.
But a lot of KU people reaching out to me, wondering if you're all right, and some were very angry at you. I've told you that. So.
Oh, I know. I've gotten emails from a bunch of KU fans that.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Well, you know, you need to get on board with this Big Ten thing, and you're being too negative about it. And if we don't end up in the Big Ten, it's going to be devastating for the whole university.
Yeah.
You know,
signed Jake Gutierrez.
No, Jake Gutierrez is interested in the ACC.
Yeah, I'm
more interested in the ACC than I am the Big Ten. I'm definitely on Jake's side on that.
Well, I think my point is, you want either one of those more than the Mountain West. You don't want the Mountain West.
Well, I've tried to sit there and figure that out. I don't want the Mountain West.
Okay.
All
right.
There you go. That's what what needed to be said.
Yes.
I don't want the Mountain West.
Because you sounded, I'm just going to be honest with you.
This is already
you
a good
sounded
day. It's a great
like
day,
you. Man. You sounded like you had been taking
job.
A few nips of whiskey before you were. Talking about that.
No, I mean, I get it. It's an emotional response.
Here's what I would like. I would like to see the teams that are left in the Big 12, Big 8 now, go get a couple of the teams from the Mountain West and maybe go get a couple teams from the AAC and make a conference in the Midwest for us.
Now you're talking.
For us, you know, for people that want to be here.
Okay.
People that want to be in the league. People that want to treat each other equally and be in this region.
Go get Cincinnati. Go get Memphis.
Cincinnati. Houston, I think, would be great.
Yeah.
You should want Houston.
Memphis.
I think Colorado State and Wyoming would be great in this league, personally. Great places to go to. Great places to visit. Great places to watch your team play. Cool schools, you know, I think they have good, like, Wyoming's got a good program.
Yeah.
Colorado State's had some success over the years. They're not always.
Houston's had a lot of basketball and football.
Yes, yes. 100%. I would prefer that over joining the Big
12. Go back to 12. Yeah. Be the Big 12.
Yeah, exactly. Be the Big 12 again. Get teams that want to be here, that are happy to be here, that want to treat each other equally, and be in this region. I would rather be that than the Big 10 or the ACC. And my response to I haven't typed out my response to all the angry emails I've gotten, but what makes all these KU fans so sure that there's this invitation from the Big Ten just
there's
out
not.
There waiting? Because there isn't.
Not.
Every person we've talked to from the Big Ten's like, no thanks.
Right.
We're not interested. And here's,
if you don't believe in yourself, how the hell is someone else going to believe in you?
You want me to really make some KU fans mad?
I don't think it's impossible.
Sure.
I don't think it's as likely as people are making it sound.
Oh, hold on, Jake. He wants to make KU fans mad. Let's hear it.
Yeah, make them mad.
I don't think it's impossible either, Jay. I think you're right. It's not impossible, but I don't think it's
probable. Make
them mad. You know where that comes from? There's a whole bunch in the KU fan base right now that are daydreaming of landing in a major conference and leaving K-State behind. And they think that would just be so great and funny.
That's stupid.
And I'm with Jake on that. That is stupid.
That's what this is about?
I think that's a lot about what this is about. I've heard a lot of KU fans, we're going to go with Big Ten. K-State's going to be screwed over.
You're telling me this is all about the Sunflower Showdown?
I'm hearing
a lot
of that.
I'm sorry, hold on. Wait a minute. Presented by Dylan's.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got the sponsor in. Thank
Absolutely.
You for that.
Absolutely.
Is it still?
Wow.
That's what I'm hearing a lot of.
Are you?
I think it's an arrogance among KU fans. Oh, yeah, you know, we'll be good, but K-State's screwed. Oh, well, really?
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
And I disagree with that.
I haven't heard a whole lot of that, but I will say that the KU people I talk to are shockingly, they're somewhat of the rational breed.
Okay.
I say
what's that supposed to mean?
I mean that there's a side of KU fans that there's some like
they don't think that the Big Ten's just rose petals at our feet to try to get us to come join their league.
Right, the irrational ones think that there's a Big Ten an invite waiting and it's going to be hilarious to leave K-State in the dust, and I think that's irrational.
Was Nate a rational or irrational Kansas friend?
Well, it depends on what. I would say he's rational unless his emotions have the best of him, and then he thinks the Mountain West is a good idea. But then he walks it back a couple days later. Like that was an irrational thought. But that's not a, I don't think that was, that was more of,
I never,
I'm so sick of Oklahoma and Texas, F everybody, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, but, and I, yeah, I don't, I don't want
to. Nate is of the rational type.
Thank you.
For the most part.
It just took me a little bit to collect my thoughts.
Yeah, it's all right. Hey, man, it's an emotional time. I get it. But, you know, I think, why would you want to, look, we've lost so many rivalries. Why would you want to lose probably the last really good rivalry that you have?
Right.
Why would you
want
to lose that?
Right.
That, for me, that is a small-minded thought. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face, and in the long term, that's not good value for, I mean, we wouldn't be able to.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
Play that.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, no, that's, no. I don't want to leave K-State.
You don't want to leave K-State?
No.
See, that's good. That's nice to hear, because that I'm with Nate. That has not been the sentiment, I think, of a lot of Kansas fans that I've listened to.
Well, that's too bad. They're the irrational type.
You know what I think you should do?
Oh, boy. Tell me.
No, please. No. So, you know how some schools don't play basketball, or some schools don't play football and they're basketball only, right? Or whatever. How can we get Wichita State in this conference, at least for basketball? How can we make that happen? I'd like to see a conference, at least in basketball, that involves Kansas State, Kansas, and Wichita State.
That'd be fun.
You don't think that would be fun?
Back to Kansas and start the football program back.
There you go.
Okay, start football back up. But honestly, I would like to see some. I'm just looking. I mean, I don't know how the hell that will work out. I'm throwing things at the wall to see if they stick. But boy, wouldn't you like to see some conference games between Wichita State, Kansas State, and Kansas in basketball?
Heck yeah, that'd be great.
Well, that didn't sound like you.
Well, it's just that's not realistic. You know, I mean, I would love to do it.
I want
but
a shot
like
at
said,
the
there's
King.
No. Everything's realistic.
I guess that's true.
Yep.
You're going to tell me something's not realistic in this day and age with what we've seen from college athletics?
Fair enough.
I'm not.
It's fair all
enough.
Realistic, buddy.
That's fair enough.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Get creative.
We're talking about putting Kansas in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Because, you know, you always think about Kansas being on the Atlantic Coast. I mean, that's, you know, so let's, why not? Let's talk about it all.
Do everything. Do it all. Make things happen.
Just a little bit inland.
It's slightly inland.
So did you guys watch the, I don't know, maybe you watched the whole game, but did you at least watch the last couple of innings of the Royals' loss to the White Sox 5-3?
I actually watched almost that entire game last night.
Wow. That six-game winning streak got you the bait on the hook and got you back.
I might have jinxed it. I think that's the first out of those seven games I watched, like the whole thing.
Okay, so take me back to the top of the eighth, if you please.
Yeah.
When Jake Brents is on the mound, gives up a double, hits Angle, got a wild pitch. Gets a couple of outs, but a run scores, and they bring in Zimmer. And be honest, don't lie. Just tell me what your gut was telling you. When they decided to intentionally walk Jose Abreu to face Eloy Jimenez, what was your gut reaction? Were you thinking, yep, that's a good move? Or were you like, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's not do this.
I didn't really like the idea of pitching to either guy, and you're going to have to pitch to one of them, you know? So that was kind of how I was feeling at the time.
I didn't like it. I mean, I wasn't against it enough to take to Twitter, but I was like, man, and I know the rationale of the broadcast. Well, do you want to face a guy that's been in the lineup and driven in a bunch of runs all year long and has been rolling versus, well, I mean, Abreu's, hey, he's a good run producer, but I mean, he's not, you can, look, Abreu is a hell of a hitter, but so is Eloy Jimenez. Mm-hmm. And the matchup, and they did talk about Jimenez has had success against Zimmer. And so I don't know. I didn't want any part of Eloy Jimenez, really. But I guess that it could have blown up, and you're right, there was maybe no good answer. There's no good solution there. Maybe both were going to crush Zimmer the way he was, because he just made a bad pitch to Jimenez. And that was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen at Kauffman Stadium. Good God, where did that thing land? What was that? They listed it at 459 feet. I was kind of expecting more. Where the hell did it land?
I don't know. That's a moonshot, though.
Well, where did he go?
Dude walked all the way to first base, admiring it, too.
Oh, no. You know why he walked to first base, right?
Because they walked the guy in front of him.
Right. There you go. Okay. I'll walk him. I just walked. I'm going to walk to first base, too. But then I'm going to keep going.
Yep. Hey, I can't be mad at that. I mean, hey.
There's something about walking a guy and getting him, you piss the guy off next. And
yep.
And look, I get it. There's some easy decisions, but I don't know. And Jimenez has had success against Zimmer before. Jake, did you think either way about it? Or?
Well, I'll tell you what you can't do if you're going to walk the guy in front of him. You can't just hang a slider right over the middle of the plate.
I mean, why not? Why?
Well, because you're not getting that ball back.
Feet, why?
They don't hit it to I-70.
Yeah, right.
You're not getting that ball back.
In the moment, I was like, I didn't have a whole lot of hesitation. I was like, either one of these guys are really good hitters. So pick your poison. The guy's been out for a bit.
Yeah.
So I see the rationale. I can't hate on it. But, I mean, hindsight being 20/20, after the fact, is like, yep, they should not have pitched to him.
Yeah. Hey, that's the kind
bad
of stuff.
Move.
That's what Jake brings to the plate. Well, obviously you shouldn't have pitched him. He hit a home run. There
bad
we go. That's the level of second guessing that I want to hear. That's what I like.
Rigorous honesty, buddy.
I mean, okay, so it's like, and they mentioned the Brock, you know, Abreu has entered the game with 75 ribbies. He's a run producer, but. And Zimmer has not been. He's not been good in July. He has an 8.71 ERA in July. He's allowed 10 runs and 10 in the third innings in July. So maybe there's your problem. Maybe that's just that Zimmer was a bad matchup for the Royals against anybody because he's been getting shelled in July.
Well, with pitches like that, you're going to get shelled. I mean, there's a lot of hitters in the big leagues that would hit that ball a long way because that was just a bad, bad pitch. I mean, it just was. I mean, I'm not trying
no matter
to pick
who was
on
up at the plate, that thing was getting launched.
I mean, they all call the old cement mixer slider. I mean, it just hung out over the middle of the plate, and that's one of the most enticing pitches to hit for a big league hitter, you know. So,
yep. It sucked. It sucked for the Royals. They were up, and it looked like they were on their way to winning another game against the White Sox, extending that winning streak. Instead, Eloy Jimenez spoils the party with a 3-run home run, gives the White Sox a 5-3 lead. And then the White Sox close it out with their bullpen and get the win 5-3, ending the Royals' winning streak and delivering a gut punch type of loss to the Kansas City Royals. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I mean, we're still just kind of evaluating what we've got to do to be better in 2022 and. I think anything that we would do at the deadline, regardless of what our record is, would be focused on that, how to be better in 2022. And so that is continuing, as we go forward. But it's still, very early. A lot of the things that, get done oftentimes, as we know, are at the last minute. And we're really just focused on, keeping as many of our good players together as we always talk about, not really doing much in terms of exchanging names, just trying to be very disciplined with the group that we have and just build on it.
Well, if you were hoping that the Royals would be active around the trade deadline, It looks like you're going to be disappointed. Although, I'm not surprised. I don't know if you guys are surprised. I talked about this as we led the show off yesterday. That, and look, we've seen this when Ken Rosenthal mentioned it in his column. And Annie Rogers a couple of weeks ago when she said that, when she wrote that the Royals would not classify as either buyers or sellers because they felt like they're close to competing and they think they'll be competing for a playoff spot next year. And so they don't want to trade any important pieces that might help them compete for a playoff spot next year. And so I know that it could be frustrating. And when I retweeted one comment from Annie Rogers, the mentions were not kind. As she tweeted out that the Royals are building for 2022, and Dayton Moore says to not expect the club to move key contributors for that team and the future unless it's overwhelmed by the offer. So the focus is primarily on players that will be free agents at the end of the season. And that would include Jorge Soler and Danny Duffy, so perhaps something could still happen there. Nate, your reaction to Dayton Moore's comments about the upcoming trade deadline, which is Friday afternoon.
Well, it's not surprised, like you said. I mean, we've been hearing this. We've been seeing the writing on the wall. Annie Rogers, when she was on with us last time, basically told us as much that the organization thinks they can compete next year. Buster Olney's told us that he thinks they can compete next year. And so, hey, if Buster says it, you know, maybe I'll try to believe it. I hope they contend next year. I do. I hope they compete next year. Watching this team lose as many times as we have this season makes that hard for me to believe. As I look at it, it doesn't seem probable. A lot of things have to go right for them to turn this around for next year. Like a lot of things, right? And maybe those things will all go right. So I'm not surprised. Yeah, I guess we have no choice but to get on board and believe it, you know, and to hope that they're right. And I just hope they're not limiting their ability to get players that are difference makers. That's all. You know, Dayton Moore himself said during the draft that, hey, we're not going to be able, we didn't even look to see if players like Mookie Betts were available because there's no way they'll sign with us. The only way we can get transitional or transformational players is through the draft. And I would add to that, well, also by trading players. I mean, that's how the Padres got Fernando Tatis Jr. You know, they traded for him. And that's how the Royals got Lorenzo Cain, for example. They traded for him before he had become a star. And so I just hope they're not limiting themselves from getting players like that in an effort to chase something that I think is a bit of a long shot. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that they are. And I will root for the team the rest of this season. If they don't make any trades, I'll root for them to win a bunch of games and for the starting pitchers to start to come on and develop so that we go into next year with the springboard and with those guys having gone through their growing pains and ready to contribute. But, you know, like I look at it like this, too. When we talked to Annie Rogers, I said, but, you know, so does that mean that the team is just vastly underperforming what they should be doing this year? And she said, well, don't you think so? You know, look at Hunter Dozier and Jorge Soler. They've vastly underperformed what we thought they would be this year. But, like, Jorge Soler's not going to be here next year. Because who's going to replace him? Who's going to play center field and produce for this team?
And that doesn't answer the question, why do they vastly underperform?
Right. I mean, that's fair. So I don't know.
Why is it going to be different next year for the guys that are still going to be here?
Right.
Why should we expect Mondesi to see on the field? Why should we expect Dozier to bounce back and be the player that they thought he was in 2019? It could happen, but it could easily happen. It could just easily be that he's not that guy, and that was the outlier. That was the aberration. And he's not that good.
That certainly happened before in baseball. I mean, we saw it with Mark Tehan, right? He had 1 year where everything went pretty well for him. And then he never did it again. So that's possible. That happens.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, I like the talent we have on our team, and I certainly believe in this group of players. I believe in the offense. I believe in the defense. The starting pitching, as I said, needs to be more consistent, and I believe it will, you know, as we move forward. I do feel good about, you know, the group that we have. And that doesn't mean to say that, you know, we don't have to continue to make improvements. And, you know, you somewhat have to kind of reshape and remake your bullpen each and every year. I mean, those are a lot of the things that we continue to discuss and talk about, you know, even as we have, you know, our scouts here and the majority of our baseball operations department, you know, here talking about, you know, what we need to do, you know, for next year. I mean, a lot of those discussions are about how do we reshape the bullpen and put us in a better position to win more games.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about a really interesting story about the trade deadline and about a team making a deal that pissed off the players in the clubhouse, as the Mariners made a couple of deals last night. But the first one, they traded their closer, Kendall Graveman, to the Houston Astros, a team they're getting ready to play and a team that they're chasing in the standings. And boy, oh boy, the players did not like it, and they were crushing GM Jerry DePoto. And so we'll go through that story once 7 o'clock hits, because that's, I want to read some of the quotes to Mike and you, Nate, because I find it to be a fascinating story about how the team reacted to this and how Jerry DePoto is getting crushed for making that deal when his team is a game out of the wild card and trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a long, long time. But before that, I think we have Mike Boddicker in studio now, and Mike was out at the game last night. Let's go with the good news, Mike. Brad Keller was very good, Brad Keller, last night. What did you see that you liked from Brad Keller?
Seven strong. He was really good. Had fastball command. Breaking ball was pretty good. The only mistake he made is he hung a changeup to young Gavin Sheets, and he deposited it. But other than that, he was very good. And the White Sox are a good team. They'll swing. If you got good location, you will fare well against the White Sox. And he had good location last night.
So today's a day for second guessing, and somebody tweeted this to me today, and so I'll ask you the same question. I really didn't think too much about it as it was happening, but Brad Keller, 7 strong innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Like you said, he gave up that run in the 4th inning, but he was pitching very well. 90 pitches through 7 innings. Do you wish he'd went out again? that's what I'm asking. Yeah. Should he have had a chance to go out there for the 8th inning? Yeah, Mike Boddicker and then Nate.
He was still strong. So why not? Why not? When you got a guy pitching really well, and it was pretty effortless for him. He really didn't fight too much last night. And big, strong guy. I think he can go more than 90. I think so.
Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you always have to start with the caveat that we don't know everything that Mike Matheny knows. How Brad Keller's feeling, what they talked about before the game, any of those things, we don't know. So he has more information at his disposal than we do. But I'm with Bod in terms of the fact that that looked like the Brad Keller who's been good in the past, that is not afraid to pitch to some contact. He was getting a lot of ground balls. He wasn't out there trying to strike everybody out. He got a couple of big strikeouts when he needed
them. That's exactly how you're supposed to pitch.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you do. Yeah. You go for it when you need it. And he did. he went and got the strikeouts when he needed them.
And at this point in the season, I'd think that a guy that is of his build and pitching the way he was pitching, I don't understand why he can't go more like 110 pitches.
Yeah. That's pretty simple for a guy like him. Like you said, though, maybe there was something wrong or something wasn't quite right, or I don't know.
Maybe they just don't feel like he's built for it at this point in the season. Maybe they don't, because they don't ask pitchers to do it as often anymore. They're afraid to do it. Maybe they felt confidence in Brents, you know, who had been pretty good this year. But I'll tell you what, that hit by pitch, one thing we haven't talked about was him hitting that guy on the foot when he got him down 0-2. Yeah. That's kind of, to me, started the whole spiral of that inning.
Yeah, it's basically like a leadoff walk. It's like, oh, God. You let the air goes out of you, you know? It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, only bad things seem to happen. So, yeah, that was probably the key. But, you know, Zimmer's been just overused. And that's why I think July's been so bad for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Is because, I mean, they've just used the crap out of our bullpen. Of course, our starters have not.
Yeah.
Most of the year, gone very deep.
Well, wasn't Lynch the first guy in the Royals rotation to go eight innings all year?
Yeah.
And he had a chance to go for that again last night.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Mike Matheny, and he explains the decision to pull Brad Keller after seven.
We felt it was time. And 90 pitches, he got through seven for us, and did a great job. You could tell he was feeling it at times. Savvy did a nice job going out and giving him a breath. You could tell he'd worked hard, did his job, gave us a chance, put it in the back end of the pen to finish it off. And he was great today. He did give up a home run on the changeup, but he threw some really good ones and threw it pretty often, had a lot of confidence in it. The slider was good. We talk about Brad being a contact guy, but he gets into a bind and then gets two big punch outs. He's got that ability to do that. Not that he chases it all the time, but he's got the stuff, and today the slider really helped him get the swing and miss that he needed to in a big situation. So I thought his stuff was great. He deserved better than that.
There's the explanation.
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, that's true. And his slider was very good last night. But, you know, and one of the things, too, you have to think about, and I sat out there in that sauna.
Oof.
It was hot. So... yeah, maybe.
Did you like pitching in those conditions?
I loved it. I love pitching in those conditions.
Why?
You never got tight ever. You was just, by this time of the year especially, you're in pretty darn good shape. You run every day. You know, you do your foul poles. You do your stuff. I loved it. I love pitching in hot weather. I always love pitching in Texas because it was always hot down there. I just liked it. I hated cold weather.
So one of the things, you know, Matheny said that he was starting to get tired out there, and Salvi went out to did a good job of like helping him catch his breath or whatever. He retired six of the last seven batters that he faced, right?
Effortlessly,
like, you know,
yes.
That it wasn't like I was like, I don't remember him being in a lot of trouble those last two.
No,
we looked at 1-2-3 inning in the sixth.
He had an inning early that he had guys, and he went and got the punch outs he needed. But after that, it was just cruise. He was cruising.
Yeah.
We have Mike Boddicker in studio talking baseball back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez with Mike Boddicker. Mike, I know that you've come in studio ready to talk baseball, but I know that you're a sports fan. You try to listen to the Border Patrol. We appreciate that so much. And I know that you know that it's been a rough couple of days for Nate. He had, would you say outbursts, Jake? Is that, he's very emotional
tantrum?
Yesterday?
Is this throwing KU into the Big Ten?
Said some tantrums.
Well, that's part of it. Oh, but anyway.
Unlikely, Mike.
Today.
It's unlikely to happen.
Instead of stoking the fire, instead of me adding gasoline to his already raging fire of emotions.
It's smoldering today.
I found something that will soothe him.
Oh,
soothe
boy.
The savage beast.
Yes.
Some tucks.
Could I get.
I need some tucks.
Can I get some dramatic reading music, please?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Give me about 10 seconds. I'll pull them up.
I love this.
Oh, boy. What are we reading?
I don't know, but it's.
I'm going to read something that's going to make you feel better, because all you want to know is you want to know that someone's trying to keep the Big 12 together and trying to do what's right. Right? That's what you want?
Yep. That would be
you
nice.
Said it.
How about getting Grunny to get Notre Dame in?
They could. This, I believe, will satisfy all of Nate's questions and calm his fears. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby released a statement yesterday. And hopefully this will alleviate Nate's fear. What?
Oh boy.
You better read it with the proper amount of enthusiasm.
I'll try it. Okay. So this will not be too dramatic. This will be more Bob Bowlesby-ish, but I still like the music. The Big 12 Conference has learned that the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas have submitted formal requests to the SEC to be considered for membership beginning with the 2025-26 athletic year. The events of recent days have verified that the two schools have been contemplating and planning for the transition for months, and this formal application is the culmination of those processes. We are unwavering in the belief that the Big 12 provides an outstanding platform for its members' athletic and academic success. We will face the challenges head on.
It's the Big 12!
And we have confidence that the Big 12 will continue to be a vibrant and successful entity in the near term and into the foreseeable future. Good night. I'm Bob Bowlesby. Now, how do you feel?
Tired. Drowsy?
Why? Bob Bowlesby released a statement, and now he's telling you that he has an unwavering belief that the Big 12 provides an outstanding platform for its members' athletic and academic success, and they're going to face the challenges head on. And he's confident that the Big 12 will continue to be vibrant and successful. Isn't that what you want to hear?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. I told you I think my preference would be to keep this remaining teams together and go get some teams that schools that want to be in the conference and actually get the conference set up to where everybody's on equal footing.
If you're looking for a guy to be proactive, I suggest Bob Bowlesby is your man.
Do you?
They're going to be ahead of the game.
I've had cocktails with him when we were in college, so no.
Whoa.
It's not going to happen.
Wait a minute.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, I can't.
We got a break.
This
is going
to
be.
Oh, yeah. We went to school together in Iowa.
How dare you? You never brought up the fact that you had cocktails with Bob Bowlesby.
I was friends with his brother John.
Was he as much of a wild man in college?
He sounded like that in college.
We're gonna find out more about Mike getting hammered with Bob Bowlesby after this on WHB. We've got Mike Boddicker in studio, who in just seconds will tell us about having cocktails with Bob Bowlesby in college. very excited for this to happen right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.